Rabbi, are you with us on the line?
Do you hear me?
Yes, we do.
How are you?
We did it. We did it.
Well, don't we always have Pesach miracles?
We always have miracles, not just on Pesach.
That's right.
That's the combination. The combination of the two of us.
That's right. That means that it's the pre-Pesach miracle now.
That's it.
Beautiful.
Good. So, getting ready for Passover.
Getting ready for Pesach. You know, it's a lot of work for a lot of people, and especially a lot of work for the wives. But once you sit down to the first Seder, and you're sitting with the family and friends, and reliving the experience of Egypt, and reliving our Egypt here, and how we become free, and how the kids ask the Manishtana, the four questions, and how they're asking questions, and how they're going to eat the matzah, and so on and so forth, then you say, okay, it's worth it. It was all worth, you know, the extra work. You know, obviously Pesach falls out this year on Monday evening. Now, you know, there are certain steps that we got to take before Pesach comes, and getting rid of our chametz, our breads and our cookies and our cakes and our pastas, things that rise, things that we're not allowed to eat on Passover.
Yeah.
And there are really six steps to really getting rid of these items for Passover. You know, number one, you've got to clean the home, setting up the Passover kitchen, selling the chametz.
I sold it to you.
That's right. I'm going to explain in a second to people what selling means. Searching for the chametz, burning for the chametz, and when you burn it, you also nullify it. You say a special prayer that even if it's in your house or so on and so forth, and you cannot see it, or you do see it, it should be nullified. And it's a very interesting concept, the idea of selling chametz. You know, when it comes to Passover, we don't need to take all of our breads and rice and pastas and so on and so, cookies, and throw them out of the house and rid our house literally and have nothing left. Because we would be wasting a lot of money, and it would just be an inconvenience.
And our parents always told us, we don't throw food.
Exactly. So one of the ways that the rabbis derived a plan is that there's a form that someone fills out that gives the rabbi the power and the ability to be his messenger and to go to a non-Jew who doesn't have the obligation of Passover and sell the chametz, sell all the possessions in my house that aren't allowed to be for Passover that now belongs to the non-Jew. He acquires it through a transaction with me, and he then belongs to the chametz, the unleavened bread, and so on. And right after Passover, I then go in with a transaction with money, retake the items from him, buy back all of Windsor's chametz, and then it belongs to everyone else. So at least we won't be having that issue on our shoulders throughout Passover.
Yeah.
Now, if you go and think, you know, Passover happened 3,000 years ago, what has it really got to do with me? And if you really think about it, you know, we read in the Haggadah, B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo. That's right. In every generation, each person must feel as if he personally came out of Egypt. As the Torah says, you should tell your children on that day, when I left Egypt, Hashem did miracles for me. We all feel that we are in Egypt. You know, we have our own issues, our pharaohs, our challenges, and we have to become free from it, really see is, why are we having those challenges? How do I become closer to God? And a lot of people have the question is, what's the big deal of me eating chametz? What's the big deal of me eating bread on Passover? So I'll have my matzah to represent, you know, the Jews leaving Egypt very quickly, and they don't have enough time to make their dough right. I'll do that, but why do I need to keep everything else? Why can I not eat chametz? And really, it really goes down to the same thing of freedom. Is Pesach enables us to undergo a personal exodus from Egypt by going away from our limitations. Accordingly, God gave us the mitzvah of eating matzah to help us internalize that experience. Because eating matzah, you know, converts the experience of self-transcendence into an integral part of our beings. Because chametz, it rises, it becomes big. That symbolizes a self-inflated ego and pride that we have. Matzah, on the other hand, remains flat, represents selfless, humility. humility, you know, nullification. And Torah describes matzah as a poor man's bread, because a poor man is humble and free from arrogance.
Yeah.
In life, just having our ego all the time is not a good thing. It doesn't give us the ability to become free, because I don't want to leave this aspect of my life because of my ego. It doesn't give me that ability, and that's what Pesach is all about. Pesach gives us that ability to really go higher and become a better person. Now, you know, there are different foods that we have on Passover, that on Pesach, and that we have throughout the Seder, for example. I think we could just go through them very quickly so people, listeners, can really understand the reason of why we do certain things. For example,
let's just mention that it's a plate that all these kinds of foods are there.
Correct. So it's the kara, the plate that we place all the symbols of that evening on there. For example, we have the salt water. That reminds us of the bitter tears shed by our ancestors while they were enslaved in Egypt. You have the bitter herbs, the maror. That reminds us of the bitter times of the Egyptian exile. And people have the maror, the actual horseradish. And people have the leaves of the lettuce. And this represents as well the crisp, sweet leaves represent freedom. And if you go and look sometimes in the lettuce, there's a little bit of a bitter stalk, which reminds us of the slavery.
Yeah.
So we portray that as that, well, we were slaves and now we're going to be free. We have the wine, red wine, preferably people like to use, which that represents symbolizing the color of blood. Blood has an obvious association with slavery. Our ancestors were beaten and they bled. Also the blood of freedom. You know, on the night before the accident, our ancestors were commanded to kill a sheep or a goat and to smear its blood upon the doorposts of the houses. That would be a sign that when the plague, the 10th plague of the death of the firstborn Egyptian, they would not affect any of the Israelite homes.
Yeah. And they that's just a pledge as well.
That is correct. That is correct. Then you have the charoset, which is the mixture which everyone loves to eat it. The mixture of wines, apples, nuts, pears, and everyone has their different customs what else they put in, represents the mortar used for building the brick. Then you have the zroa, the shank bone, which represents the special Passover offering that would rarely be brought up and given in the time of the temple. And then you have the egg, which represents the festive sacrifice which was offered on the three pilgrim festivals, Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot. And also, egg symbolizes the Jewish people. The more we are oppressed, the stronger we become. Like an egg, the longer you can cook, the harder it becomes. Unlike any other food, the longer you cook it, it goes bad.
Yeah.
You can't eat it. So, though that is really the centerpiece of the tables, and then obviously we have the four cups of wine, which represent the four expressions of freedom of the v'lakachti, v'otesti, v'salti, v'da'alti. I will take you out. I will slave you. I will save you. I will redeem you. I will take you as a nation. And then we have the three masot on the plate that we use, which represent, you know, the three levels in Judaism of the Jews, the Kohen, the priest, the Levite, and the Israelite, which aren't just the regular Jew, the Israelite. Then you have the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, as well as, you know, then we have the kids asking the Manishtana the question.
Yeah.
And it's so important that we encourage the kids, adult family, to ask the question. Because that's what Passover is all about. If we don't ask, we will not know. What do they say in Hebrew? Habayshan lo lomed.
Habayshan lo lomed. That's it.
The embarrassed one does not learn. He'll never know. And that's what Passover is. Encouraging our kids and our grandkids and our families and our nephews. And whoever may be at the table, ask questions. Let the kids be who they really are, because that's what Passover is about. And obviously everyone has their famous customs that they do in their house, and they eat, you know, there's really, besides that food that we just mentioned now, there really isn't any more of the traditional foods that that you must or you must not. You know, people have their own. They'll eat the turkey, and people have brisket, and the gefilte fish you must have, and the matzo ball soup, and the tzimis, as they call that in Yiddish, the carrot, the sweet carrot people love, and the borscht, and the beet salad, and the juice. So Pesach is a rich, really rich holiday spiritually, as well as, you know, you got to eat a lot of food, which is, we're okay with that. We can deal with that. So that's really, you know, Passover in a nutshell, and I really, really encourage everyone, if you have a Seder that you're doing with your family, get everyone involved. Let them ask the questions. Let them ask any other question that they might have. And if you don't have a Seder, it's not too late. There's two Seders in Windsor. There's the Seder the first night, which I am doing at the Shahr HaShemayim. It's still not this late if you need to. The price is a little bit different than the early bird special, but we could always still accommodate people that still need a Seder. And the second night, there's a Seder at the congregation Bethel. So there really isn't any excuse. If you don't have a Seder, you can really find a Seder to go to.
Yeah, there are two Seders in town. The first Seder at Shahr HaShemayim and the second Seder at congregation Bethel.
That's right. So I encourage everyone to go to a Seder, enjoy it, feel free, eat the matzahs, eat the maror, cry a little bit, it's okay. And I want to wish everyone a happy and kosher Passover. And should this year should really be the Passover of freedom.
That's right.
We should have no more issues and no more trials and tribulations that the Jews should go through. We should have a year just of freedom.
And peace.
And peace. Amen.
Amen. Rabbi, I want to wish you a kosher and happy Passover
to you
and your family. And
thank you. You too, and to the whole Windsor Jewish community, a happy Pesach.
Okay. So thank you again. Chag Sameach.
You too.
And we'll talk soon.
Yes, God willing. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.